I appreciate, again, being with you this morning, and appreciate the prayer on my behalf. Mention me in that prayer. That's always encouraging. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Ethan did a good job reading that. I just wanted to read it just for emphasis' sake. If I were to ask you all the way around the room, do you need to be encouraged along life's way? My guess is that most, if not all, would say, yes, I need to be encouraged. All of us need to be encouraged. I don't think there's any that would say that they do not need to be encouraged. But all of us need to be encouraged from time to time. In the context of this verse, you know, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that Moses was the deliverer that brought God's people out of Egyptian bondage. God did it through Moses. But Moses, as a result of his rebellion against God, Numbers 20 and 21, was not permitted to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land. Howbeit, God did let him look into the promised land. But Joshua, upon the death of Moses, was going to be commissioned to be the leader of God's people that would eventually take them into the land that God had promised to give them. And two times, as was read before us just a moment ago from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 1:38 and Deuteronomy 3:28, Moses was instructed to encourage Joshua. And so I hope that all of us can say that we are an encouragement one to another. I think about a passage in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. But really specifically verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Then the well-known passage, "Let not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." And so it ought to be the case that we encourage one another just simply by being here. And I hope you see the value in being with those of like precious faith upon the Lord's Day and other occasions that we have, like Sunday morning Bible class and Wednesday evening Bible class. Those are important times that we need to be here. I want us to think about being encouraged. Sometimes it's not easy to be encouraged. And sometimes folks may think that they just simply do not want people's encouragement. I had a fellow, I think I shared this with you a number of years ago, this fellow who had been a gospel preacher so long as I can remember, he just stopped coming for a period of time, and I called to check on him and just tell him that I wanted to encourage him. And I said those words, "I just wanted to call you and encourage you." And his statement was, "I don't need your encouragement." So some people just feel like they don't need your encouragement. They feel like they're better off without your phone call, perhaps. But all of us, I think, can see the need in being encouraged. And I want you to be encouraged regardless of what other people do. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy to stay motivated. And we all need to be motivated to be zealous, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14. And to be encouraged regardless of others. Number one, I want you to be encouraged regardless of those who will not hear. I wish everybody I talk with would listen to what I say relative to what the Bible says. But that's not the case. And we need to stay encouraged regardless of folks who will not hear, because be rest assured there are people who will not hear the truth. No matter what you say to them. No matter what I might say or how I might say it. Or how often I might say it, they're not going to listen or hear what I say. And that's not peculiar to our time. There's people in the Old Testament that would not listen. There are people in the New Testament that would not listen. And I think about the strong statement as recorded in Acts chapter 3 and in verse 23, that it shall come to pass whosoever will not hear that prophet shall be cut off or destroyed among the people. And Jesus is that prophet that Peter is making the application to, taken from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. But again, whosoever will not hear that prophet? You think everybody listened to King Jesus, Lord Jesus? the prophet Jesus? You think that people listen to him? No, there are multitudes of people who would not listen to that prophet. And if folks didn't listen to him then when he was on the top side of God's earth, what makes us think that everybody's going to hear it when we have God's completed revelation today, the very word from God? People will not hear it. Some people say, well, in the book of John, the Bible says that as a result of some miracle along the way, that the people listened or they believed because they saw the miracle. Well, that's true. The book of John is filled with that. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 talks about that. In the last chapter, John chapter 21 talks about that. But I assure you that if the very word of God will not provoke people to hear today, they will not hear it today with a miracle. You agree? Let me give you a passage that says that, teaches that. Luke 16. Here was the rich man Lazarus that lived very different lives, and both of them died and went to very different places. And one of the requests that the rich man made was send Lazarus back that he may warn my five brethren lest they come to this awful place that I'm at. Remember what Abraham said? They had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. No, but if Lazarus goes back, the rich man said, they'll listen. No, if they won't hear Moses and the prophet, they won't hear the one be raised from the dead. So a miracle won't convince people. The very word of God won't convince people. And so be encouraged, though people will not hear. 1 Corinthians 14, the context of spiritual gifts. But yet a statement is made, as it is written in the law, that with men of other languages or tongues and men of other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. There are people that are not going to listen. And in spite of that, you've got to stay encouraged. And what I say to you, I say to me. And it's a constant battle to stay encouraged. But also, I want you to stay encouraged and zealous in spite of those who will not believe. Oh, some people may listen to you. And I've had people that will sit down at the table and listen to me, but then they don't believe a word I say. You can open it up and read it from the Word of God, and they won't believe a word of it, though they claim that they believe the Word of God. Well, then why not believe all of it if you claim to believe part of it? Just go ahead and believe the rest of it. I never will remember. I shared with you after I had some studies with a Pentecostal follower over in Leslie County, and we talked so many times about the Holy Spirit, and I mentioned to him several times 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 2 when Paul had said, when I was with you, it wasn't with excellency of speech or a man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That, again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and following. Verse 4 specifically says, my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So I just simply made the statement, why not go ahead and demonstrate it? If you claim that you had the Spirit that Paul had, go ahead and demonstrate it. Paul did. Only to hear the words, well, it doesn't work that way. And so you can often tell people, and they'll listen to you, but they won't believe what you say, though you're reading it straight from the Bible. When various hearts were hardened, and they did not believe. The Bible talks about in Acts 19, verse 9, but yet there are people who will believe, and we're thankful for people who will hear and people who will believe. Many of the Corinthians hear and believe were baptized, Acts 19, or Acts 18, verse 8. John 3:18. We do not believe we are condemned already because we do not believe in the only begotten Son of God. So you've got to believe, and yet people many times will not believe. Oh, they say, yeah, I believe what the Bible says. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. Well, do you believe what Jesus, the Son of God, said? When he talked about the church, or he talked about salvation, or he talked about being born again? Or the Holy Spirit, the words of the Spirit, when these Bible writers wrote, do you believe what they said about the matter? Paul said, if any man among you thinketh himself be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. So do you believe that? Many don't. And then, I want you to stay encouraged, though people will not obey. The few are the ones that will obey. I look around and we have more seats filled than not. But I assure you that you are among the few, as I'll point out in just a moment. But I want you to stay encouraged and be zealous to do what God says to do, though many will not obey. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 8, a lot of passages in the Bible speak to obedience. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Do you realize really at the end of the day all people are obeyers? All people are obedient. Did you know that? If you don't obey the truth, you're obeying unrighteousness. You ought to pick or choose. You're obedient unto God or you're obedient unto the devil. One of the two. No middle ground. Because to fail to obey God is in reality to subject yourself to what Satan would have you to do. You agree with that? All people are obedient. Whether unto God or unto unrighteousness. Read that verse again. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Now, I can't help but to think about what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. We won't read all that, but he's talking about the Lord returning and that he would punish those who know not God and obey not the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord when he shall come to be admired in all his saints. And so, if you do not obey, heaven will not be your home. But you've got to stay motivated in spite of those who will not obey. And I'm sure you've had family and friends and co-workers, and the list goes on. People will not obey, and sometimes our brethren don't obey the words of God. Though they know it, they still will not obey it or be restored. We've got to be encouraged in spite of those who oppose it. You know, the Bible says a lot about persecution, but there's a difference between being persecuted and being opposed. Sometimes we can be opposed without physical persecution, and folks just stand in the way. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 and 15, at my first answer, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Greatly withstood our words, and my first answer, and all men stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it not be left to their charge. There will always be naysayers. A naysayer is a person who opposes, criticizes, or gives opposition, stands in the way. And there will always be people who want to stand in the way. You agree? They either are critical, oppose, or just absolutely stand in the way. No better way to say it. But in spite of that, we've got to be encouraged. And you're going to run across people that are critical, and sometimes we run across folks that just want to be critical. Maybe you get up to do a sermon, they're going to be critical about your lesson. Or maybe you get up to serve on the Lord's table, and folks are critical about the way you did it, the way you handled it. Critical about your prayer. Critical about the way the announcements were made. Critical about this, that, or the other. Just encourage them to pick up a weapon and stand opposed before they're critical. And by that I mean, till you get up and you begin to do service for God, and you get up and you begin to walk the line and you begin to participate. Don't be critical of the people who did when they didn't have to, but they stood up to do it. So don't be critical of people. And I'm not talking about encouraging. Sometimes folks may word a prayer and we need to encourage them to pay attention to maybe the way they word a prayer, or maybe we just lend some advice to help strengthen and encourage them. But don't be critical. Don't be a wrecker. Choose to be a builder. I think about Ephesians chapter 5 verse 28. Let therefore no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Build people up and don't tear them down. And many times we have a problem with that even in the body of Christ, and it ought not be the case. If you can't say something good, have you ever heard that before? Then just don't say anything at all. So stay encouraged. Even though people oppose. I can probably think of no greater book in the Bible that exemplifies service to God even in spite of people opposing, the book of Nehemiah. When God's people were opposed and rebuilding, remember that? Tobiah and Sanballat and so forth just ridiculed the building of the wall and even scoffed at it. If a fox run on it, it'll fall down. Stay encouraged. I want you to stay encouraged, be encouraged, and stay encouraged in spite of those that are in the majority. When you're right about a particular thing, stand for it. Stand for what's right. You agree with that? The problem is we don't do much standing today. You don't have to look far to see where that'll lead us. Look at our country today. We let people who want to be in the majority and often get in the majority. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, gets the oil. And we just sit back and say nothing while people in the majority, we just give them their way. Now you make application of that in spiritual things and you also see where we are at today. Too afraid that we'll hurt people's feelings, upset them, make them mad, turn them away. And as a result of that, we don't do much reproving, rebuking by and large, but I try to do that very thing in my preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Well, that's just preachers. Let me give you a passage that's not just preachers. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's to you and to me both, whether you're in the pulpit or not. So I want you to be encouraged regardless of those in the majority. Remember that the few are the ones that are on the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Matthew 7 and verse 14. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were the greatest or the largest of all people, but you are the fewest of all people. Deuteronomy 7 verse 7. God's people have always been in the minority. And it'll be the case come the judgment. But I want you to be encouraged and stay that way in spite of those who persecute. Not only we talked about opposition, but people will persecute as well. And persecution rears its ugly head in various different ways. It doesn't have to be physical persecution. They don't have to punch you, give you a black eye in order to persecute you. You can be persecuted in a lot of different ways. For example, in the book of Luke, chapter 7, or Luke rather, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Blessed are ye when men shall speak evil of you. Cast out your name evil for the Son of Man's sake. Revile you. Rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Rhymes with what the Lord stated in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. And so persecution may come upon you. People may speak evil of you. Try to give you a bad reputation. Well, the Lord talked about that. So rather than get mad about that and try to take vengeance on people or revenge, rejoice. For great is your reward in heaven. You're not the first one to be put through the ringer. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So in spite of being persecuted, slandered, separated from their company, the Lord talked about that in Luke 6 passage, so shall separate you from their company. They don't want to hang out with you anymore. They don't want to include you anymore. Don't worry about that. Probably better off without them anyway. And you are much better off without people if they will not encourage you to go to heaven, but would rather discourage you than sever the tie with them. You're better off without them. Last point. Be encouraged. Stay encouraged. Regardless of those who speak evil. Luke 6 verse 26 talks about that. In Acts 19:9, when divers hearts were hardened and they spake evil of that way, There are people today who will speak evil of that way. You folks in the Church of Christ think you're the only ones going to heaven. Just try to ridicule you. You folks think that you have a copyright on truth. You guys think you know everything. And the list goes on and on. There's going to be people. There were people like that in Bible days. There's going to be people like that in our day that will just scoff and ridicule. And the list goes on and on. I think about 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall what? Be evil spoken of. And stand for what's right. Be encouraged. Can you use some encouragement? Stay encouraged, even though you're going to run into folks who will not hear, will not believe, will not obey, who oppose, are in the majority, who persecute, and who speak evil. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. Preacher, what must I do in order to become a Christian? Same thing they did in Bible days, a Christian. I never tire of sharing that with people. It's true then, it's true today, it'll always be true. You become a Christian by doing the same thing. Romans 10:17. It is to hear the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing it. We talked about that. Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. Repenting of your sin, turn away from the world as you turn unto God, without which we'll perish. Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that he is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you done that? Will you do that this morning? And to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. And when you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed, washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. And you'll be added to the church by the Lord himself. Acts 2 and in verse 47. Are you encouraged to do that? Will you obey with zeal and then live a lifetime of faithful service to God, that heaven will be your home? Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Let us not lose heart, grow weary, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, Galatians 6, verse 9. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Preacher, I have done that, but I've not been faithful. Well, come home. What's standing in your way? Whatever it is, get rid of it. Or do it in spite of those things. There's some things that you just simply cannot necessarily get rid of, but you've got to obey the Lord in spite of. You see that? Maybe you can't get rid of it, but obey in spite of it. If you want some examples of that, catch me after service. I'll give you some. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come.